Good morning, good afternoon, wherever you are, down the beach and walking along in the beautiful soft sand. It's early morning. We're heading down to the bush today, so everything's happening at a very early hour, so we get out of Sydney before the traffic slams us. Success. Let's just go over the first step, the most important, I think, of all the 13 steps of success, and that is the belief in the philosophy of success, that there is a formula. I've done a lot of work with a lot of people over a lot of time, and those that become highly successful are those that believe they deserve it. Now, there's ego, there's delusions of grandeur, there's pomp, there's people who live off the expectations of others, and then there are those who are successful. And those who are successful don't treat success as a right. It's every human right to try and be successful. That's very important to realize. But it's not every human's capability to be it. And the big, big difference is those who randomly choose to be a success without following some path, a well-trodden path, go out like cowboys and try to reinvent the wheel, try and reinvent the process. And it doesn't work, or it's random, and it has so many holes in it, like trying to fill a balloon with water where there's a hole. And the bigger the balloon gets, of course, the bigger the hole gets. And that's a really, really important awareness. The bigger the hole gets, the bigger the balloon gets. And the more water it will leak. So the more successful we get, the more obvious our glitches or our breakdowns become in our formula, call it that. That's a good thing to call it, our formula for success. And so I don't think we can talk about this topic too much, the philosophy of success or belief in the code of success. But once you find that code and you make it your commitment, then you will find others who've made it their code and who laugh at those who say they want to be successful but are operating on the wrong code, operating with holes in their balloon. And so you fill that person's balloon with success, the bigger the hole gets. And so in some sense, the harder they have to work to be successful. So let's start with today, with just a few simple awareness. If you allow yourself the privilege of being angry or frustrated or annoyed or disappointed, any of those words that come from last month's conversation with you called frustration, if you allow it, you make the hole in your balloon bigger. One hour of frustration is a week's work. And so maybe when you were a pygmy in the success challenge, you were 5 years old, and you didn't kick the footy through the goal, or didn't throw the ball through the hoop, or whatever you didn't do, maybe there was time, an allowable time, to be frustrated. But as the balloon gets bigger, that hole of frustration leaks, and it makes the balloon very weak. And it leads to only one thing, and that is really, really hard work in order to feel successful. Now, frustration has a benefit. It shows you where you've got blockages, shows you where you've got judgment. Frustration has a benefit to everybody. I know that. But the question is, do you indulge it for an hour, a minute, a week? What do you do? So, plug the hole in your balloon called tolerance or indulgence in frustration. Step one. Step two is mindset. Every emotion is important to be a human being. Every human has every trait. Every human has every emotion. Mindset means choosing which of those emotions you're going to take on board and which of those emotions you're going to deny. Now, you might think being self-aware means experiencing all the emotions, but it's not. Being self-aware means knowing that you have all the emotions. You're capable of anger, violence, cruelty, and therefore you don't judge those words. But you do choose through a pure intent when or if you use them. The worst thing we can do is walk around saying, I'm better than others, or I don't have that emotional quality of that other person. That's a really big mistake. What we can say is, yes, of course I have it, but I choose when I use it. That's called love. Wow, there's a beautiful sunrise. Oof. Oh my gosh. So the next thing is clear focus. Clear focus means you know what you want. You know what you're really after. And as much as you might think that's like duh, it's quite surprising to realize that most people have achieved the success that they dreamed of at some level in their life, and therefore can't work out what is worth working hard for again. Remember being a teenager and wanting something so damn bad, and then maybe you changed your mind and wanted something else so damn bad. And then remember going to uni or going to school, studying to pass the exams because you wanted something so damn bad. And then you looked for a job because you wanted something, and then you went on a date because you wanted something so damn bad. It all reveals that we all have visions of the future that we will want so damn bad. And then we get to a midlife crisis and we say, do I want anything so damn bad, or do I want lifestyle? It happens around the phases of being responsible for others, and we start to think, I just want those I'm responsible for to want something so damn bad because I've run out. I'm just about getting through the day, building the business, building the job. It's getting more pay, and we become our own worst enemy because we don't want something so damn bad. And it's hard for a lot of people because suddenly they've achieved it. And that's a tough one because then failure becomes an option. If you keep wanting stuff, you also have to keep being prepared to work through failure, which happened when you were a kid going to uni, playing sport. You fail. Nobody likes it. So with this mindset of success, there's no such thing as failure. There's learning. And if you look at last year and see what you learned, and you think through that and see what you learned last year, and then ask yourself this question. It's really good. And it comes from an Olympic runner that runs a company in Sydney called Run Crew, Ben. And his best statement is to all his clients, hundreds of them, running never gets easier, you only get faster. And work never gets easier, you only get better. So if you say to yourself, I don't want to work easier, I want to work as hard as I worked last year, instead of saying, oh, last year was so hard, or last month was so hard, or last year was the last 3 months or 6 months so hard, instead of saying that, you say, if I can sustain that and build on what I learned last year, then there's absolutely no shadow of doubt that I will improve. In other words, you don't have to work harder. You do not have to work harder. You have to work as hard as. And if you can't sustain the work as hard as, then you need to go to the process of hard work and see where you let yourself down. If hard work that you did last year is unsustainable, then the growth and the learning you had last year is unsustainable and you're going to plateau. So the question's going to be, if last year was hard, or last month was hard, that's the new norm. The question is, how do you live your life so that that new hard, as some people call it drinking from the fire hydrant, is your new default, your new normal. And how do you live? What lifestyle do you have? What do you eat? What do you do at night that makes that hard easy? Now, it's not easy, it makes it sustainable, better word. Now, there are stupids where we flood ourselves with hundreds of things to do in a very short period of time. Listen to those girls, like chickens in a chicken coop. So we can look at our year and say, how do I work hard? How do I work as hard as I worked last year, but make it sustainable? And that will come down to, a lot of it will come down to reorganizing the work, when you do it, how you schedule it, how much time you give it. And of course, because you've learned how to do it, you don't have to reinvent the wheel. What sort of life? What sort of schedule in the day? You remember last year when you did the 30-day challenge or whatever it was, you touched a tree at lunchtime, but of course life got hard and you forgot to do it. Well, life didn't get hard, life got unsustainable. The principles you learn in Back on Track in the 30-day challenge, they're not just for 30 days. They're a lifetime of commitments to things that work, that make hard sustainable. Go back to Ben's comment. You only get faster. It doesn't get easier. Well, it's another way of saying you evolve, isn't it? You get faster. And a runner doesn't get faster in order to, let's say, always outdo the competition. Sometimes you have to get faster to keep up, because they're all getting faster too. Welcome to success. Because while you might pick a point on a wall and say, I define that as success, everybody around you wants that point. And everybody around you, either through stressful existence or desperation or something, is climbing up the wall, trying to get faster. So sustainable hard becomes your mantra. Because if you take the pressure off and try to work soft, it'll go slow. Oh my God, I'm drinking from the fire. Slow. Oh my God, I'm drinking from the fire. So slow. And it'll become unsustainable. That's the success mood. It's worth the intensity of hard work that's sustainable. And the question is, what are you going to do to make how hard you work, how committed you are, how enthusiastic you are, like you were when you were 15 or 17 for something, how are you going to make that sustainable when you're 45, 50 or 35 or whatever age you are? And that requires quite a lot of thought, because all of a sudden you start trying to run triathlons and marathons which have nothing to do with your success and actually don't build it. They don't help you work harder. It's all about for you. It becomes, when those things happen, about recovery or excitement. And that's like a branch on a tree going horizontal. Absolutely nothing to do and a total waste of your life, unless you want to be an Olympian in that event. I'm walking past 60 people, most of them women, on the beach doing ice baths. Beautiful. The Wim Hof group. 3 minutes in the bucket of ice, there's six buckets. And I got to admit, much as I'm not a big fan of ice baths and stuff like that, or the Wim Hof, they all look pretty damn fit. Maybe it's a selective audience. Only if you are fit and you want to do it. My neighbour downstairs ran he runs Wim Hof's training. So we had 12 people in our backyard on Saturday morning with 40 bags of ice. My goodness me. $7.50 each. my Pilates teacher, he bought a Westinghouse freezer, stand-up freezer with the door that opens horizontally and layered on its back, sealed up all the joints, and fills it with water. The Westinghouse thing cost him $600, and he's got his own ice maker, although it only gets down, only takes water down to 6 degrees C, but that's damn cold. He does it every single day, and does it three immersions for 3 minutes with exercise in between. And he's running the Berlin Marathon in, I think, August. So he's training every single day. And he does his ice bath part of his training. So a lot of people do it. So we're talking about success formula. There are things that make people fail. The hole in the balloon. Looking for the easy path is one. Looking to make money easy. So make money easy is possible without what you call hard day's work, by investing in diamonds or Bitcoin or whatever. But there's risk involved, and so it's not easy. Buying a house, there's a risk involved, so it's never easy. Looks easy, but it's never easy. So, let's go back over today. Every time in my life I've become emotionally distracted, which is emotionally reactive, my success has felt like it's going up because I feel more spirited, if you want to call it that, emotional. But actually the success has gone down. Every time in my life I've got confused, lost as to what success means for me, and started to talk about it in the language of life balance. The thing that I ultimately call success has gone down. Every time I start getting desperate in my life and worried about the got-tos and the shoulds in my life, my success has gone down. Every time I've become obsessed with a sport and lived for the sport rather than lived for my success in the thing that is my success has gone down. Every time I've compared myself to other people and their success, my success has gone down. Every time I've tried to achieve success without the hard work of a normal day's work, my success has gone down. And every time I've forgotten about nature and the importance of it in our lives, my success has gone down. When we work on low priorities, we attract calamities, disasters, and humbling circumstance. So if you get a calamity, a disaster, or a humbling circumstance, a health problem is a calamity, a disaster, a relationship challenge, a health challenge, a relationship challenge, a financial challenge, a social challenge, a challenge with your kids. Every time you get one of those, you know you're working on low priorities, that has caused it. Because what we've talked about yesterday in the video was that the universe wants your success more than you do. The universe wants your success more than you do. While you're working on and you have an intent to make this world a great place and to do something and contribute and add to it, the universe wants your success more than you do. And you attract the resources, the people and the places and the energy to build it. that the minute you start to define that success as temporary, as incidents in your life, like a happy kid or a happy house or a new fence or a happy partner, when you start to define it as things that are temporary, the universe says you're working on low priorities, and she hands you a calamity, a disaster, or a humbling circumstance to bring you down, to humble you down, and make you go back to what you learned in the 30-day challenge. It was all there. And that's the beauty of it. What's the 30-day challenge teach you? Back on track. Every day, evolve your mind, change your thought. In other words, own it. Own the thought. If somebody's being cruel, find where you're cruel. If somebody's being ugly, find where you're ugly. If someone's being stupid, find where you're stupid. You don't have to do it. You don't have to express it. You just have to own that you have it. Grow that every day. And your consciousness, your mind will expand. The second one is do something every day to improve your physiology. Whether it's an ice bath, whether it's a cold shower, which Wim Hof says you would be wiser to do than an ice bath for the first 6 months. Cold shower for 3 minutes, that's a long time standing still in the shower, breathing properly. Do something every day to improve your biology. The third one is, make sure your environment reflects you. The people around you are grateful for you. The people around you are respecting you. The circumstance around you, the furniture, the things on the wall demonstrate that you value you. Because nobody's going to treat you better than you treat yourself. So if somebody's not valuing you and you want to fix that up, you have to fix how you treat yourself. That's pretty simple math, isn't it? There's no use whinging to people and going, oh, you didn't respect me. Because if they're not respecting you, it's because you're not. You can own that. And if you're not creating an environment around you, like down here on the beach this morning, it's a beautiful sunrise. I'm walking on the sand. I'm surrounded by people going for a dip and it's freezing cold. I'm surrounded by really healthy, fun-loving humanity, and that's a beautiful thing, but I could be also down the pub, I suppose. I could be putting myself in an environment that would diminish me. I could have a desk that's covered in paper and covered in mess and not have any icons of Nepal and no photos and reminders of beautiful successes I've had in my life. I've got thank yous and thank you letters framed. I've got images, photos of times throughout my life, and I'm not ashamed that they were a different era to my current one. They built the current. I'm not ashamed to have photos of people I love and loved around me in the house and things I bought when I was on trips. That creates the environment of an office. I'm down here wearing clothes that aren't for the garbage bin. The fourth one is your values, which is basically live your purpose. Find what you were born to give and find it as the highest priority, and work out how the other six areas of your life feed that priority. Life balance is a myth. You know that's no such thing. But you do know that you need to manage all areas of life in order to be a success, because your relationship feeds you, your food and health feeds you, your financial stability feeds you, your mental state manages your emotional well-being and your energy. You can go around your social network
is really important to feel connected. Your spiritual side is really being honest with yourself and spending time alone. And in that time alone, make sure you're concentrating on giving to the world. And one of the things we learn in Nepal over and over again is never meditate for your own well-being. Meditate for others. Meditating for your own well-being, that's the greatest oxymoron on the planet. The purpose of meditation is self-improvement, but it comes from wanting others to be better. Meditate for the well-being of all beings. Walk alone for the betterment of the world, and you will improve. So, with all this said, the fifth area of the Back on Track is your vision. Do you have a dream board? Do you look up your vision on your phone every day? That's your success formula. And last but not least is, how do you talk to yourself? Are you improving it? Remember the three levels. Motivate, which means drive yourself towards your success. Instruct, do the things that make hard work sustainable. And reward, connect incidents to the long term. Never, ever in the reward process mistake gratitude for what you get on a daily basis and gratitude for what you do, which are incidents to be thankful for, which is called falling in love 1,000 times a day. Never mistake that for the real purpose of the reward, which is to connect today and make today a prophecy of the future. This is Chris. You have a beautiful day. Bye for now.